Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, that was my fault. Welcome, everyone, again to blogtalkradio.com and FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Guffey, and today we're doing something for the first time. Well, we did a little test run, but for the first official time, we're actually going to film our episodes, and those will be posted on YouTube at our father's house, North Carolina, our father's house, NC, so you can see those as well as listen to them here on blogtalkradio.com. So I want to say a big thank you, first of all, to everyone who has joined us on Twitter and is following us on Twitter and on Facebook this week and throughout. We really appreciate that. And I also really want to say thank you to everyone who's been listening to our archived episodes. We've got a really great response on that. And so I just want to thank everyone for participating and joining us and finding us there through those. So this week, what I wanted to talk about was Pontius Pilate. For those of you who don't recognize that name, Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of the province of Judea. And that was a Roman province. The Romans had come into the Middle East. They had conquered it, and they had set up governorships over various states in the Middle East. And the state where Jerusalem and the children of Israel lived, where Israel is now, was part of a state called Judea. And over Judea reigned Pontius Pilate. He had been a political figure appointed directly by Caesar to rule this area. So he is the highest political authority in all of Jerusalem, all the Middle East, where Jesus and the disciples are, where the Jewish people live. Everywhere, they were all accountable to Pontius Pilate. So we're going to go forward in our story a little bit with Jesus. Jesus has come under attack from the Jews, the Jewish leadership, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They want to have him killed, and they have taken him prisoner in the Garden of Gethsemane. They've brought them before themselves, but they have a problem, you see, these Pharisees and Sadducees. It's the Feast of the Passover, and so for them, it would be a violation of their religious rules to condemn someone to death during that time. They don't want to do that. Plus, I believe, they don't want the death of Jesus to be directly on their hands. There have been literally thousands in the immediate area who have come to believe in Jesus. And if the Jewish leadership were to rise up and say, well, we're going to execute him, they might have a problem on their hands. And they don't want that. They don't want rebellion against them. So after they try Jesus, and unsuccessfully, because according to Judaic law, you had to have two witnesses who witnessed the same thing, they couldn't even find two witnesses on the trumped-up charges that they had charged Jesus with. So they're having a problem. So they're like, well, we're not going to do this. We're going to forget about this. We're going to take him to Pontius Pilate. We're going to take him to the highest political civil authority in the land. And we'll let Pilate judge him, and Pilate will execute him, and basically we'll have the Romans do our dirty work for us. So that's the plan. We find in the book of John, in chapter 18, they bring Jesus before Pilate, and it's very early in the morning. Now, during the Feast of the Passover, there's a lot of partying going on. And Pilate, it doesn't say, but Pilate is up very early. He's up at 6 a.m. Now, it could be because he is a Roman official, he's a military man, he's a man of discipline, that he is up at that time. But more likely, the situation is that he has been up the night before drinking and feasting and partying, because it's that kind of atmosphere and that kind of mood in Jerusalem. So Pilate has been up. He's up when they bring Jesus to him, regardless of the reason. And the Jews, the Jewish leadership, the Pharisees, they refuse to go in. They can't go into Pilate's palace. They can't go into where he lives. Some people say he was at the palace. Some people say that he was with the garrison of Jerusalem at a tower and at a fortified area. But the Jews can't go in there because, again, it will violate their religious rules during the Passover. And you see, it's funny because the charge that the Pharisees really were bringing to Jesus was that he had violated those rules. And because Jesus broke the rules, they were going to kill him. They were going to execute him. So they bring him before Pilate, and Pilate has to actually go out to meet with the Jewish leadership, which is very unusual, and I think sort of shows the I think that kind of goes to the fact that Pilate has been up, because Pilate's probably wanting to go to bed at this point. He's wanting to resolve this situation. So normally he would say, look, you guys have to come into me or else I'm not going to listen to this. But I think that Pilate is simply saying, look, I just want to get this handled. I'm going to go out and talk to you. I'll go back in and talk to this Jesus guy whenever we get done. So Pilate goes out to them. And he asks him, says, what accusation do you bring against this man? That's very specific. That is what Roman law required him to do. Just as we start a court case, a criminal court case off with a reading of the charges against the defendant, the Roman courts, in a Roman court, you start it off by saying, what is the accusation against the defendant? So he asked them, and they said, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto you. So they didn't even actually have a charge. They didn't even have anything specific that they could blame Jesus for. They just said, he's a bad guy. Why else would we be here at 6 o'clock in the morning bringing him to you? Well, Pilate says, look, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. You guys, if you don't have some specific charge, you take him and you judge him. You take care of this. Why are you even here? And they said to him, look, it's not lawful. It violates our religious rules for us to put him to death. And so they were worried that they would have to do that. But Pilate goes back into the judgment hall, and he talks to Jesus, and he says, are you the king of the Jews? Are you this person that that you claim to be? And Jesus said, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answers, says, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What is it that you've done? You know, because, again, Pilate's, you know, he's treating Jesus just like a regular man. We're going to see that change in just a little bit, but right now, as far as Pilate's concerned, Jesus is just a normal guy, and he's been brought before him, and he wants to know what is going on. So he says to Jesus, what is it really that you've done? And Jesus answered in chapter 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, meaning his kingdom hasn't come yet. So Pilate says, well, so you're a king? I think Pilate's a little confused, and so he's wanting to know. He says, so you're a king? And Jesus says, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate, and this is one of the reasons why I think he's still a little groggy. He's like, what is truth? You know, you've got Roman philosophers and Greek philosophers that will tell you this is the truth and that's the truth. Pilate's like, I don't know. Am I over? What's the truth? What is truth? And Pilate, again, not wanting to deal with Jesus the man, goes back and says to the Jews, he goes back outside and he says, look, I have a custom. During Passover, I'm going to release a prisoner unto you. If you want me to, I'll give you Jesus, and we can be done with this whole thing. And they were like, no, no, not this man. Give us Barabbas. And Barabbas was a robber. That means he's a mugger. He's the guy who did violent robberies. He wasn't a thief that planned a robbery and broke in, stole something without hurting anybody. Barabbas was a thug. They said, we would rather have him than have Jesus. So for Pilate, he's now questioned Jesus, whether he's king of the Jews. He's not afraid. He's Pilate. He's the governor of Judea. He is the head of Roman law. So he's not afraid of anything. He's not worried at this point. It's early, you know. He's still trying to be disengaged from what's going on. But then in chapter 19, something happens. Pilate, when he goes to the Jews and says, do you want me to give him to you as your release? They're like, no, give us Barabbas the thug. Pilate says, okay, look, I'll make you happy. And so he goes back in, and this is where Jesus really begins paying for our sins. Pilate, being a Roman, well, you know what these Jews want? They want a little justice. So, guys, you go beat this Jesus up, have some fun with him, scourge him, punish him, and then we'll turn him back over, and hopefully this whole mess will be over. And that's what they do. They take Jesus, and they scourge him. They beat him mercilessly. They beat him so bad that even though he is the Son of God, he can't even carry his cross to the hill. And they put a crown of thorns on him, and they put a purple robe on him to mock him, to make fun of him. And they beat him with their hands, and they beat him with whips. And so Pilate comes forth to the Pharisees and says, okay, now I've beat on him. Surely that's going to satisfy you. Here, take him. And Jesus says, or Pilate says, even brings Jesus forth and says, behold the man. And the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out saying, crucify him. Pilate says, you take him and you crucify him. I find no fault in him. So even though Pilate has done all these things to placate the Pharisees, Pilate says, behold this man. He's not afraid. He's Pontius Pilate. He's like, I find nothing wrong with him. This man does not deserve to die like you want him to. And then the Jews answered him. You see, here's where things change. In chapter 19 of the book of John, in verse 7, after Pilate has said, I find no fault in him, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And you see, it's at that moment that Pilate makes a change. He makes a realization. He's gotten to talk to Jesus. He's seen the sincerity of Jesus. He may have even watched them beat Jesus and saw how he took the beating that was meant for you and I. And you see, Pilate comes up against a powerful, powerful statement. Because you see, once you admit that there is a God, you become accountable to him. And so we find in verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, that Jesus was the Son of God, he was the more afraid. Now fear set in. Because you see, Pilate has just had to admit in his heart that there's a God. And he's worried now that he's going to be accountable to him. Because if Jesus is really who he says he is, if he is the Son of God, and not just an earthly king of the Jews, then Pilate's in big trouble. Pilate has been raised on the traditions of Rome and Greece. He knows all the myths. He understands them. He knows that divine retribution is real. The divine judgment is real. He knows that much, and that's what he's afraid of. You see, Pilate doesn't want to deal with Jesus, but he's forced to. He's brought to the point where he has to accept that Jesus is the Son of God. And when that happens, because Pilate's not in front of him when it happens, I like to think he has a moment to ponder this idea, to think about the fact that he may have the Son of God in there bleeding and bruised and broken from the beating that his men gave him, and now he has to go back in there and answer for that. So he marches right back in there and says to Jesus, "Whence art thou?" And that's an important change. He's not saying, "Who are you?" He's saying, "Where are you from?" Basically, what he wants to know is, "Are you a God?" Now, the Ghostbusters will say, if someone asks if you're a God, you say yes. But Jesus, who really is God, doesn't say anything, doesn't say a word. He leaves Pilate because Pilate already knows that answer. See, from that time that the Pharisees told him, Jesus says he's the Son of God, it all starts to click. It all comes together. And Pilate's now afraid. Pilate's gone from being the top dog in the land, being the head of law, the head of Roman authority, to suddenly facing a deity. So Pilate says again to Jesus, "Speak you not to me? You're not going to talk to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you, and I have the power to release you?" You see, Pilate there is actually going to his safe place, his strength, because on earth, Pilate has power. Pilate can crucify anyone he wants to, quite frankly. He doesn't have to abide by Roman law. He is the Roman law. If he really wants you to die on a cross, he'll put you there. And at the same time, if he wants to show mercy and have mercy upon you, he, Pilate, is the one who gives mercy. That's in his mind. And so he runs to that strength. He runs back to that idea that he's in control. And you see, this is just what we do. Everything that Pilate's done is exactly what we do. See, we deny that God exists. We pretend that it's not important. But then we come face to face with the reality that we have to admit there's a God. And once we do, we become accountable to him. But we don't want to be accountable to him. We want to be accountable to ourselves. So we go into denial, and we go to our strength. We say, I'm a powerful businessman. I'm a powerful person in my organization. I have the power over me, not you. Not you, God. You don't control me. That's what we want to say. But you see, Jesus answers this. Jesus knew that Pilate knew the answer to his own question before. Where are you from? Pilate knew that Jesus was not from this world. But now Jesus is going to answer him. And so he says unto Jesus answered in verse 11 of chapter 19, "You could have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." What Jesus is saying there is your power means nothing. And he's not doing it in a mean way. He's saying, Pilate, you couldn't have any power if it wasn't for God. You wouldn't have any strength if it wasn't for God. God says the same thing to us. He wants us to realize that. Not so he can lord it over us, not so he can push us down, so that we can enter into relationship with him. You see, that's what Pilate was avoiding. Pilate, in spite of himself, found himself respecting Jesus. I find no fault in him. He knew that he was innocent. But you see, he just couldn't bring himself to admit that Jesus had power over him. He clung to his power. And yet Jesus is still there. Pilate's had him beaten. Pilate's done everything else to him, but Jesus is still there. Just like he's there for you and me. Pilate mocks him. He tests Jesus. Maybe you've mocked Jesus. A lot of people do. And you know what? Maybe it wasn't your words out of your mouth. Maybe you laughed really hard and thought that was funny at a TV show that mocked the Lord, or something irreverent that you saw or heard on the radio. Maybe you're like, yeah, that was really funny. That's mocking Jesus. And considering the beating that Jesus took for you and for me, he deserves more respect than that. Now, that's not to say that we can't laugh as Christians. Absolutely. God created laughter. God wants us to laugh. Yeah, sometimes. There are things, you know, I even look up and I say, Lord, that was funny, you know, and I'll laugh. But you see, it's not good-natured laughter that we get engaged in. It's mockery. It's saying, you know what, that religion of Christianity is intolerant, and it is terrible. But you see, Jesus isn't about that. Jesus is right beside you, wanting to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. He wanted Pilate to know him. Jesus takes the beating, and he takes it. Maybe you mocked Jesus, but afterwards you felt something, felt that you weren't doing something right. You see, then you hear about Jesus being the Son of God, and you're faced with the possibility that Jesus is more than man. And now, like Pilate, you get worried. Maybe you ask, are you what they say? In that quiet time of night when it's just you and your thoughts, maybe you think to yourself, I wonder if Jesus really is this Son of God, this loving, sacrificing power of love that he says he is. I like to think that you feel the truth in your heart and that you retreat. You know, and when you feel that truth, you do like Pilate. You start to retreat to what you think your strengths are. But Jesus is there, just like he is before Pilate. And he's not defiant. You know, Jesus could have really threw some stuff in Pilate's face, but he didn't. He wasn't defiant. He just said, you could have no power at all over me if it weren't given to you from above. And see, it's at that point, you know what you need. You need release. And that's, I think, at the point where Pilate was, because we see in the next verse, verse 12, and from thenceforth, from that moment on, Pilate sought to release him, Jesus. Pilate wanted Jesus free. Pilate recognized who Jesus was. He recognized that he was the Son of God. He knew the truth that he had so flippantly cast aside a little while before. He knew in his heart now, just like maybe some of you who are hearing the sound of my voice and watching this on YouTube or hearing this through Blog Talk Radio, maybe some of you are at that point where you know the truth. You know the truth of what's going on. You know who Jesus is. You know that he is God. You're accountable to him. But you see, the same thing that happens to Pilate is going to happen to you. Here comes the world. Your friends, your colleagues, your co-workers, the media, they're all going to come to you. And they're going to say, you want to do what? Are you okay? Are you gone crazy? I didn't figure you for a Jesus freak. I didn't figure you for someone who would buy into that. I thought you were smarter than that. Yeah, it's okay to help people, but really to buy into all this Jesus stuff, we don't even know if he existed. That's the world that speaks to you. And you see, Pilate, even though he knew in his heart who Jesus was, and from thenceforth wanted to release him desperately, he goes back to the Pharisees because he's going to do it. He's going to let Jesus go. But the world says to him, the Pharisees say to him, well, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So Pilate is afraid. Now, what the world said to him was, if you believe in Jesus, you might lose your position. You might lose your power. You might even lose your life. So you better crucify him like we told you. And maybe the same thing is going to happen to you, that people are going to come to you and say, here's the cost. It's going to cost you to follow Jesus. Here's what will happen. All of which to keep you from Jesus. You end up knowing the truth, like Pilate, that Jesus is king, but you leave the relationship behind. You decide that the cost of that relationship is too great. But what you don't realize is the cost of not having the relationship is eternal. It's an eternal separation. Knowledge of Jesus won't save you. Just knowing who Jesus was wasn't going to save Pilate. Knowing who your Savior is in your heart, accepting him, bringing him in, and saying, Jesus, you are my God, and I accept your sacrifice, that you died on a cross, paid for my sins, and was born again, was raised up on the third day. That's what's going to save you. Entering into that relationship. Don't be like Pilate. That's the greatest lesson that Pilate gives us. Pilate goes on to wash his hands of Jesus, and we get that phrase and that picture from him. But he does it. He washes away the relationship he could have had. Don't do the same. I'm John A. Guffey for blogtalkradio.com, FMG Live. Join us here next week. Find us on YouTube. Thank you, and have a great night.